Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us and sharing some of your precious time to listen to yet another fantastic conversation looking at that intersection of shamanism, non-ordinary reality, whatever you happen to be calling it at the time. What is this non-physical experience that can be approached so many different ways? And we'll be talking to Reverend Mike Wanner about his experience with that and what he does. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I'm really glad that the U.S. government is back up and running. Call me silly or something, but I thought that was totally ridiculous. And what can you say about your country going totally mad? But the underlying thing with all of it was fear. The way everything was manipulated was fear. And that's extremely common. And it's extremely common because it works. So if you look at commercials, commercials almost always say, this bad thing could happen to you, whether it's a zit or a disease or your dish is not sparkling or whatever it is. This bad thing could happen to you, and there'll be either people will not like you as much or you'll get sicker, whatever they're trying to do to scare you. But if you pay us money, we'll give you this thing and it'll make this problem, which really isn't a problem, go away. And they discovered, because there's 90 years now of study about how all this stuff works, they discovered that if you make people afraid, and even better, if you get them sexually aroused, or even better than that, do both, which is why most commercials have either a pretty woman or a studly man telling you to be afraid and buy the product. But if you can invoke those emotions in the person's body, that they will pretty much do anything you tell them to because they don't want to feel that way. So when you look at the metaphysics of it, when you look at, what is it in the spiritual world that functions using fear to manipulate people? Because fear is basically the opposite of love. And if God is love, there you go. You know where fear is coming from. Typically, fear is created with lies or false promises. Again, if you look in most scriptures, they'll tell you very clearly that the dark side works that way. So I've come to a conclusion, and I want to share it with you because it's a very simple rule that you can apply to anything that's ever being said to you. And that is, if somebody tells you, be afraid, be very afraid, in whatever version they do it. And there isn't something to be afraid of right in front of you. I mean, there are real physical things to be afraid of. Someone is menacing you with a weapon, or there's a saber-toothed tiger about to pounce on you. You have a reason to be afraid, and your body will go into fight, flight, or freeze. But when somebody's telling you to be afraid and there's nothing to be afraid of, they're depending on you going into that freeze response and being incapacitated and unable to think clearly. So I've come to the conclusion that anytime anybody tells me that I must do something because of something that they say is fearful, but probably isn't, or at least they can't prove it, that they're trying to manipulate me. And basically, my belief is anytime somebody tells me be afraid because I tell you so, they're trying to manipulate me. They've got an agenda. And it's basically a pickpocket trick. It's a distraction. If you can quickly make somebody afraid, it so confuses them that you can reach in their pocket and take whatever it is you want, or get them to do whatever you want them to, whether that's voting in a particular way, buying a product, supporting some cause, whatever it is. Personally, I find it reprehensible and unethical and directly connected to the darkest things in the universe. So every time I see it, I say no to it. And you might want to say no to it as well. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And tonight's guest is Reverend Mike Wanner. And Mike and I met at the conventions of the American Society of Dowsers, which is a very interesting group. Mike, you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, we met years ago at the Dowsing Convention. I think you came to one of my talks about ghosts, and we chatted several times. And I'm glad we stayed. Say again?
I said I attended at least six or seven of your talks. Every time you were talking, I was there.
Fantastic. I'm flattered. I always have fun doing those, and it's fun to be in a room with people that have been doing work related to what I'm talking about, because the questions are where the real juicy conversation is, not in what I have to say, but in what other people add to it. And I really enjoyed those talks at the conventions. Haven't been there in a couple of years. But you got in touch again, and you're doing all kinds of interesting things, and I think we'll have a great time sharing that with the audience. What I always do first, though, is ask, how did you wind up doing this? You know, what was your path, or your walkabout is what I usually call it, that led you to be doing this spiritual work that you're doing now?
Well, pretty much your metaphysical musings laid the groundwork for my story. Early on in my life, I was resistant to the fear that the church that I belonged to had put out there. And I was very interested in what all the other churches around were putting out there. And it was so fear-based and based on you being so afraid that you complied with the rules. And so I used to keep hearing the words, and he was a God-fearing man. Like, that was a compliment for someone that passed. Right. And I always said inside my head, who would ever want to be a God-fearing man? And I said, I'm a God-loving man, and I always will be. And I still am. So,
you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know that's a mistranslation. It's not the correct translation is being in awe, not in fear. So there's, you know, hundreds of years of getting it wrong.
Oh, yes. I'm very well aware of it. And it just didn't sit right. And it still doesn't. It's when I hear people being afraid of God.
Yep, absolutely. So where did that take you?
Well, it growing up, I just did what was expected of me. And when the draft was coming after me, I decided to join the Air Force before I got drafted in to go to Vietnam. I went in the Air Force, hopefully to have some direction as to where I was going. I went in the Air Force and I spent 3 years in Texas and one in Vietnam. And I came back and after having wonderful spiritual experiences in the service, especially in Vietnam, came back to the same church that I grew up in and went into the church and heard the gospel according to the checkbook. And I was done. There was so much, there was no religion in the church. There was all about money. And so I began to look elsewhere. And then pretty much I buried myself in ambulance work and service work for many years, and I finally was attracted to a metaphysical church and a healing modality called Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, the universal life force healing, hands-on type of healing, and that was the beginning of my path, which just keeps going and going.
So Obviously to me, because I've read about what you're doing. Reiki has been a major part of your ministry. But you're connected to and certified by a number of different metaphysical groups and churches, and I'm fascinated with that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about both the groups and the kinds of certifications that you got?
Well, my Reiki certifications are broad-based. I've studied in, of course, the United States and Canada, and I've also studied in Denmark. I've studied in Japan. I've studied in Australia.
Wow.
I have like 8 different Reiki modalities that I practice. I also, another healing modality that's big for me is integrated energy therapy, which I'm a master instructor of, which is about focused on healing stuffed emotions and cellular memory, which are huge plagues of the American society, at least, in other countries also. And so I've been working with the angels since 1969 closely in healing modalities. But my experience through Reiki had me channeling and connecting to spirit in many ways, because Reiki does that at the level 2 area and beyond, and between Reiki and integrated energy therapy, back and forth between the physical healing and the mental emotional healing and the stuffed emotions and cellular memory. It's just amazing what you can do, because integrated energy therapy can actually function like a soul retrieval does in shamanic healing, where it helps you put the pieces of your soul back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of dowsing for the age of cause. So I want to know when that issue that's plaguing you today started. And
right.
And when I douse for the age of cause, I'll say to the person, what happened when you were such and such years old? And they always automatically go right into denial. Oh, nothing happened then. And then it may be later in that session, or the next day, or a week later, they'll contact me and say, you know, when you asked about what was I doing at that age, you know, I didn't know, but it's percolated up. And I now know that's when my parents got a divorce. That's when we moved. That's when we did this. That's when we did that. That's when we had a car accident. My life changed. My girlfriend left me. My wife quit. What, you know, whatever their story is,
right,
that rocked their world. That's when it happened. And when you hone in like that on the event, then you can begin to hone in on the healing, because you know what you're targeting then.
Right. Right. And it gets complicated, because people will partition that off in their brain so that it's not freaking them out. And it's especially true if it happened in early childhood. And a lot of people don't remember anything before age 4 or 5, or sometimes even later, which is a pretty good marker for the fact that something very traumatic happened that they've put aside and made inaccessible.
Well, like a private detective, you begin to put together clues. If you study the cellular memory map, like is available in integrated energy therapy, you know what emotions are stuffed in what areas of the body. And then when you take that and when it started, and then you add to that wherever you can find it in that area, whether it's in the physical layer or the emotional layer or the mental layer or the spiritual layer of the energy field, then you begin to get like a grid of things that gives you like a 96-point scale of where this, what is the energy that needs to go. And then you can go from there. And then you just start pulling on it. And if you're working on the person in person, it's one thing, you can see it. If you're working on them over the phone, distant healing, remote healing, as we call it, you can just feel the energy, and you can hear their voice change sometimes and know that you're getting it. And you have a dialogue about it, and you just continue to fine-tune it. And you're in an angelic connection with the angels, so that you can have a place for that energy to go once it's surfaced. So it gets up and for transformation and it's out of here.
Right. Well, and it's sort of the flip side of soul retrieval. It's looking for what's being held and in the way. Soul retrieval is more going out to when the event happened than bringing back the pieces that were stuck there. But they work together, obviously.
Yes.
If you clear the emotions that are stuck, you can bring back the parts of the personality that got lost there. So, yeah, it's very, very powerful work. So you've developed your own system that you call Quantum Quattro. Yes. Tell us about that.
Quattro Subtle Energy System Support. It's sort of like a way that I try to explain the energy fields to people. People don't realize, but there's four major components that you need for healing. One is you need to work on the physical situation. One is the emotional situation. One is the mental situation. And one is the spiritual situation. Now, most people, when they're ill, they go to a medical doctor who's trained in handling the physical situation. And then if things don't work real great, they get upset with him and they say he's guilty of malpractice. But what they don't realize is he's only got 25 marbles out of 100 marbles. The other 75 mm-hmm. marbles are under their control. Your emotional situation, your mental situation, and your spiritual situation are all parts of your healing potential that are under your control. And doctors can only interfere in situations where it's obvious that you need intervention. Like if you're a psychotic mess, they can sedate you and things like that, or they can refer you to other practitioners, but they can't interfere in these areas unless you're a threat to yourself or other people.
Right.
Go ahead.
For psychological issues, but even for physical issues. Doing an acute intervention on the physical level, whatever it is, doesn't get to the cause of what the problem was.
Well, that's why I said they only have access to 25% of the situation. They mm-hmm. can't work on your emotional situation, and they can't work on your mental situation in the nitty-gritty, you know, in the minutia. And the big picture, they can, you know, for temporary relief, but not in the healing situation to get at the cause. Because what you need to do is get at the cause of emotional, right. mental, and spiritual situations.
And so how do you explain it with Quantum Quattro?
The easiest way I explain it is like a table. If you want a table or a foundation that's got four legs under your life, you have to make sure that the legs on the table are all equal and balanced. The physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual all have to be balanced. And if they're not, things aren't going to sit too well on your table. They'll roll off. So you need to take charge of the other three legs of your table that the doctor is not fully licensed to deal with. You need mm-hmm. to work on your emotional situation and balancing that out in your life. You need to work on your mental situation and keeping that in good order. And you need to work on your spiritual situation. You need to tap into God. You need to tap into all that God can do to help you in all four areas.
Which is where we get back to the metaphysical underpinnings of some of the stuff that you do. You've got certifications from several different metaphysical schools and organizations. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you studied and what the certifications are?
Well, I've studied with the Teaching of Intuitional Metaphysics, which is out in California, and they they follow somewhat the teachings of the inner Christ and a lot of your mystical studies. And basically, you have a lot more control over things by asking God's support through prayer in every area of your life. And when you do that, when you tap into that resource and you do it in an affirmative way, not like a lot of people do. A lot of people pray to God, oh, God, take care of this. And they expect it's like ordering a cheeseburger at McDonald's. You know, order and it's done. And things don't work like that. When you're doing metaphysical work, you have to ask and ask and ask and pray and pray and pray and do your part and your part. I created a whole website simply called create-a-prayer.com to give you the whole scientific process of how to create a prayer that will work when it's held over time. And that's an awesome way to empower yourself, and that works at the spiritual, it works on the mental, and it can work on the emotional too, to help balance things out. But you need to live your life in a way that's reasonable and prudent. You can't be doing drugs and all that kind of stuff and expect things to go well for yourself. Yeah, you have to have a balance and an appropriateness to your life.
Right, and drugs and violence and all of the things that we're told not to do, we're told not to do for a reason, and it's because it taps into that dark stream that enslaves people, creates fear, doesn't leave room for love, love of self, love of other people. So I like to say that when churches talk about sin, they're basically saying, look, we've looked at this for a long time. And if you do these things, bad things will happen. There are consequences. So just don't do these things. And things will work out a whole lot better. And of course, almost anybody, especially if they're an adolescent, is going to go, oh, really? No, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to test it. And get in all kinds of trouble.
that's true. But you know, adolescents do listen more than frequently we think they do. And parents and adults and communities need to practice the do as I do, not just do as I say type of thing.
Right.
A lot of the bad habits that kids get is because they're watching their parents and they're copying their parents. And then they don't understand when the parents get mad because they're doing the thing that the parents do. And the parents yell at them and say, who taught you to do this? And they say, well, you did.
Right.
And the parents.
Well, although there are lots of bad examples available, including most of the cartoons, situation comedies, and reality shows and everything else are all people behaving badly and rudely. There's less and less stuff on TV that I can watch because I'm not interested. I'm not interested. You know, it's like, no, I'm not looking to see that in my life.
Cops and robbers shows.
Right. Well, even the, you know, cops and robbers shows, if they show that the good guys win and that the people that are doing bad things are foolish and can't win, are setting a good example. Every once in a while, there's cops and robbers show where the cops never win and it just drags on as a big mystery and it gets scarier and scarier. And I think those are really dangerous shows because It doesn't tell the hero's story. It isn't the myth of the battle between dark and light, and the light wins. It's just there's more and more darkness, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like, no. only if you set it up that way. So, go ahead, Mike.
One of the components of it that really disturbs me is the graphic intensity of the violence.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when I was a child, there was cowboys and Indians, and they shot a gun. But now they show the blood, the gore. They show horrendous ways of maiming people and what have you. And it's just horrendous, the seeds of darkness that they plant.
Right. And, you know, you can see them as being cautionary tales, but they don't seem to work that way. And I frequently, you know, I have a daughter who's 18, and she likes to binge watch TV shows, go back to the beginning, because you can do that now on Netflix and Hulu, go back to the beginning and see all the character development and the plot before she picks up on a story. And I always say to her, you know, these are cautionary tales. They're not setting an example for how to live your life. And she of course, laughs at me. We're going to take a break in a few minutes. I want to make sure people know how to find you and plug into your work. What's your website?
The main one right now is angelraphaelspeaks.com.
And that's the name of your new book. So that's where people should be going to find information about your practice and everything that you do in addition to the book?
There's a lot of messages on there from Angel Raphael, there's some 90-some messages on there that have been channeled by me that they can read about.
Terrific. When we come back, I want to talk about the book and your channeling and your relationship with Archangel Raphael, because it's a fascinating thing for people to hear about and plug into. And because I have my own experience of that, and we can share that as well. So we're going to take a break in a minute for some amusing but very thoughtful messages. And we'll be back shortly, unless we get taller. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files, here with Reverend Mike Wanner. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Before there were computer games and HDTV, cram courses and teaching to the test, there was this thing called imagination. A tool so powerful, it could transport kids on the most amazing journeys of their lives, from outer space to center field at Yankee Stadium. It is for these journeys that Destination Imagination was created, an extraordinary after-school program in creativity and teamwork for every child. At Destination Imagination, teams are formed and challenges are met with a whole lot of imagination. And while we can't guarantee it'll get your kid into Harvard or onto American Idol, we're pretty sure that Destination Imagination will be the most important journey they make this year. Maybe any year. Parents, teachers, start a Destination Imagination team by calling 888-321-1503 or visit DestinationImagination.org. That's DestinationImagination.org.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio, I'm a real boy!
Good nutrition and physical activity are fuel for your child's mind and body.
Now you're talking!
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just remember, smart choices from every food group, along with the right amount of physical activity, can put everyone on the path to better health.
Look, the wishing star.
You don't have to make a wish for a healthier you to come true. Just eat right.
Here's an apple.
Be active.
Come on, I'll race you home.
And make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
A healthy lifestyle can lead to great things for you and your child. Visit MyPyramid.gov to learn more. That's MyPyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Reverend Mike Wanner. And we were going to pick up the conversation talking about your channeling of messages from Archangel Raphael, which I find fascinating. And that's what your new book is about, right?
That's correct. And it's an interesting journey. In the early part of May, a friend, a teacher, and a student of mine called me and said that she wanted to channel for me. So I said, sure, I had ultimate faith in her. So we set it up, and May 4th was the day she was going to channel. And she started channeling a lot of interesting stuff. And then Angel Raphael popped in and said that wanted to connect with me on a regular basis. So I didn't think a lot of it. I made a note of it and what have you. And afterwards, I got, after the channeling was over, I think it was the next day, I sat down. I'm very familiar with connecting with spirits because of my Reiki work and integrated energy therapy and what have you. So it's nothing new for me. And so I connected with Angel Raphael, and I just said, introduced myself again and said why I was contacting, and then it started, this dialogue started. And so I had some history before where I was at an energy share where we were doing physical healing, and I was working on this person doing physical energy healing, and all of a sudden I started channeling Angel Raphael. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one in the room that didn't know what was going on. And it kind of was an embarrassment to me. So it kind of it was a little off-putting at the time. And around that time, I also had an out-of-body experience because I was working intensely with spirits, and that kind of put me off a little bit. But even though in Reiki and what have you, I was still doing connections and channeling messages and what have you. So anyhow, when I connected this time with Angel Raphael, it started getting intense because there's a lot of information coming. And finally, I thought, well, why doesn't Angel Raphael just, send me enough information that I could write a little ebook like I'm writing so many of lately? And boom, just that quick, I had this knowing that if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. Yeah. So I produced, I've channeled so far about 24 ebooks worth. They're only 10-page ebooks and like 6 or 8 pages of content and the cover and what have you. And I offer them free on joint ventures just to put the messages out there. And so it just works out because it's manageable for me that way. I just committing to one little book at a time. So I've done 24 of these. I released 14 of them because there's a polishing process that I have to go through because when I get it, it's raw. And then the question becomes, well, did I get it right and what have you? And, when I go to polish it, Angel Raphael was like right there. And like, if it feels right, I just go right through it. But then we hit one word, one little speed bump, one phraseology. And like, I have to go back and forth with Raphael in trying to understand the context of what the message is trying to do and to say. And to me, it's like, a translation where I'm translating thought energy into words.
Right.
And sometimes the words just feel exactly right, and other times they feel so awkward and off-putting. And some of the times after working an hour on one word or one phrase, I get down to the thing that's the way Raphael wants it. He wants it to be the way it's coming through. And so then I just go along right with it, you know. I just want to be a good servant of the energy and the message so that I get it right. Now, anybody that reads the books will question the grammar, and the grammar is not something I concern myself with, because if I got it grammatically correct, I can change the meaning, and I won't do that. So, and I mentioned that in the book, in the introduction, so that people understand where I'm coming from.
Right, I saw that. It's fascinating work, and it's fascinating set of messages. What are the themes that you're seeing in the messages? What's the basic message that's coming through?
Well, you started out right with it. The absence of fear and the power of love, and how much power we each have to embrace ourselves and our communities and choose to be positive even in the worst storms, because what we choose is what we're going to get. If we choose to go into the negativity, into the darkness, you know, we're working for the enemy. We have to maintain our composure and stay positive and go forward seeking the white light.
Good message for a lot of the politicians that are around at the moment.
Some things in there for the politicians. It says right in there, the governments of the world are a mess. It's not just our country, it's all the countries. One little thing up here, page 12. The answer to misery is love. Even one is least able to have something to give, there is the power of a thought that says, I want to give. Forgiving and receiving are one, when the heart of the giver is a heart that asketh nothing in return. Things like that, you know, I read them after writing them, and I go, oh, yes. I just love this stuff.
And yeah.
So there's about 95 messages that have been, more than that, maybe 115 or 20 that have been released. And there's at least another 100 in the pipeline to come.
Great.
So I'll probably write another book or two and put it all out there. The one very interesting thing is that I channeled a whole ebook and then found out it was privately directed. And so that's not released. That's book number 5. And when I was getting near the end of the first 10, in message 8, 9, and 10, there was a message about prisons. And then, because at that time I was consulting with a prison minister, and she was having some issues, and she wanted my support. And so anyhow, Raphael picked up on this and started sending me messages. So I got 3 messages, one in each of 8, 9, and 10. And 11 was almost all about the prison situation and how detrimental it is to the economies of all the countries of the world.
Yeah.
Because they're spending so much time and energy to make people's lives miserable, and they're not tapping into what those people could do for the good of humanity, because they just write them off and disregard them. And it's a sad, sad situation. And they don't have money for the schools because they're spending tons and tons and tons of money on prisons.
Well,
not to say that we don't need prisons. And
I was just, you know, we're moving in the direction of for-profit prisons, which are even more horrible than the regular prisons for many reasons. But the the place we spend most of our money is on so-called defense, is on military spending.
That's
and
true.
If there was ever any place that is saying, be afraid, be very afraid, and that has very little love in it, it's the military. So, our military budget, this statistic always blows my mind. The U.S. military budget is larger than all of the other developed nations of the world spend on military budgets combined. We spend more money than all the other countries on the planet combined.
That's understandable.
Totally mind-boggling how much money is involved.
It is. And there was a little bit between me and Raphael on the military, and it was like at the time there was this discussion, let's call it. The feeling was that that's an American issue and that this book is for the world. And while we may get to that along the way, the issues are for all the issues for all the nations are coming first, because like the financial issues and all that, the whole world's in financial crisis, not just America.
Right.
You know, and the military thing is a big thing, and I'm sure that Angel Raphael will get around to it, but it wasn't to be when I it wasn't to be prominent when I came forward and asked the question. So I just have to follow my instructions.
The thought that's coming to mind as we talk about channeling things, you know who Dr. Bernie Siegel is?
Oh, absolutely. Had a live between offices.
he's one of the my heroes. He's somebody who has been using alternative methods for treating cancer patients and getting incredible results for decades. And he has a saying that when you talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks to you, it's called psychosis. Pointing out that the psychiatric and medical model doesn't have a good way of accepting that you can be getting messages directly from spirit, that the conversation is a two-way conversation, and that that's normal, that getting that input is normal, and it's not hearing voices or being crazy or any of that stuff. It's the other side of the conversation that we start when we sit in prayer. And as you do more and more spiritual work, as you've been doing with the Reiki and the other stuff that you're doing, you become more and more open to hearing that and connecting to whatever is the particular source for you. I work with archangels as well. Most of my conversations tend to be with Archangel Michael. Because of the kind of remote clearing I do, it's usually we need your help with whatever the particular situation is. I'm the guy on the ground. So, channeling is a wonderful, wonderful resource for everybody. You know, you're bringing stuff directly from spirit for people to use in daily life, and a lot of it will sound very familiar. It's not that most things that come from spirit are brand new. It may be applicable to the present situation, but the underlying principles have always been the same. So, it's wonderful, wonderful work, and I'm glad you're bringing it through and that you're able to do it with the ebooks now. All of a sudden, we all have printing presses. Right.
One thing on the spiritual healing side for physical healing is I just released an ebook called Bible References for Healing, And this is a bunch of Bible references relevant to the laying on of hands and the spiritual healing practices that the churches and the hospitals don't really want to remember. So I just picked them out and published it. I also just published something on Kindle I call The Saint Off Interstate 95, which tells 150,000 people a day that use Interstate 95 past Philadelphia that they're within 2.5 minutes of one of the saints of the Catholic Church, St. Catherine Drexel, who I have seen what her miracles can do. And if people are in crisis and they're coming near Philadelphia, it's well worth the 2.5 minutes to travel just a short ways from the exit and to go there and visit her shrine. It's just an amazingly peaceful place to go.
And there are wonderful places that people can go, and most of us either don't find out about them or don't take the time. And just being in the place or partaking in whatever it is, if it's a healing, if they're healing waters or whatever the other aspects of that place are, just even for a few minutes can make a huge difference. And everybody's busy, it's a good metaphor. Everybody's busy driving and you don't get off at the exit ramp and go spend 5 minutes at the shrine.
Well, the shrine is really adjacent to Interstate 95, but you can't get there from here. So you have to take the exit, which goes past the shrine, and then double back to get to it.
And which makes the metaphor even better.
Yes. There's a couple other things that I'll just bring up real quickly. Is when you're talking about time, I actually created a modality that I call Crisis Reiki Baby Reiki for the people that don't have time to study Reiki fully, where they can go get one attunement from a Reiki master so they can get some help. And there's a website for that called crisisreiki.com. And there's another thing I put up called the Purple Pad, which talks about what you get when you take an Oregon blanket, create it in purple, bless it with Reiki, bless it with integrated energy therapy, and give it prayer treatments. You cover all the bases of the Quantum Quattro.
Wow. Well, it obviously there is a lot of material on your websites that I should be reading. one of the things that I love about the conventions, but about this show and being able to talk to people, is that we're all getting a different piece to a very large puzzle. And you listen to how people have come to an understanding of things, and frequently my response is either, oh yeah, that's similar to something that I do, or I never thought of that. That's great. That's a little piece to the puzzle that I didn't know. I need to see how that works in the work that I do. So, you're actually being very organized about it and getting it out there, which is wonderful. And I'm laughing at myself because I have not started to write this stuff and get it out there. So thank you so much for doing that.
You're using a different media and you're getting your message out. And it's just delightful to hear your perspective on healing places. And I have done some of that. And it was from you that I learned that the best way to do that is absentee. And I am so grateful for learning that, because it's a safety issue.
Yes. Yes. I know which story you're thinking of, because I tell it all the time. Yes, when there's a place that's very intense, it's always safer to work on it remotely with all of the protection and entities that you can set up in your space, so that you're not going into the space of some dark being that has a whole lot of power because they've been in one place for a long time. As you know from the story, I gotten some pretty life-threatening danger in one particular situation, and just decided I'd never do it that way again. I learn quickly sometimes. Other times, not so much.
I had an interesting one, if you have another minute or so.
Yeah.
A friend of mine got a call to vacate some ghosts, and she said the angels were yelling at her to call me, and she called me. And so I like to check ahead of time what I'm walking into. So I sat down and I contacted the ghost that lived at this address and had a very lovely chat. And I actually wrote out the history for him and her and the situation. And they were a very nice ghost and what have you. So when we went there, I started walking into the place, and I had trouble breathing. The energy was so heavy and dark and what have you. And here we got upstairs, and the whole place is painted in black. This was a goth house. You know, the children that lived in this house with her husband, who was their father, were in the goth. And I said to her right away, I said, the energy is not the ghosts. It's this goth, this silence, right?
They're calling in.
Right. And yeah, she's, chase the ghost, chase the ghost. Leave everything alone. I can't change anything else, but just chase the ghost. So my friend and I went into the other room, and we called the ghost and asked them to leave, and they were gone, you know, and that was that. But it was a goth house. Oh, my God, it was terrible.
So, well, Mike, we could keep going forever, and as often happens, our hour has disappeared, and there's still so much we could talk about. Again, tell folks the website where they can find all your materials.
AngelRaphaelSpeaks.com. I also have ReverendMikeWanner.com.
And Wanner is spelled W-A-N-N-E-R. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I encourage people to check it out. Mike is doing some absolutely fantastic work. Thanks so much for sharing with us on the show. I really appreciate it, Mike.
I enjoyed every minute.
And if you're curious about my work, you can find information about it at househealing.com. And cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable way to get in touch with me, including my online schedule. And you can set up a phone appointment. I do a 20-minute assessment and take a look at how my work can be helpful to your particular situation, whether it's property or people or situations or businesses or whatever it happens to be. So check it out if it makes sense for what's going on for you. Also, you can find the archive for this show so you can listen to all the previous, however many years we've been doing this, shows at thefarkasfiles.com. Isn't that clever? And you can listen anytime. You can also find these shows on iTunes podcasts. So again, thanks everybody for spending time. Most people are not listening live when we record the show. Most people are listening all over the world at their own convenience, and that's very exciting to me. When I get the information on how many people have tuned in from all over the world and how widely the show is distributed, I'm always very excited and very humbled. So thank you all for spending some time with us, and I hope you really get something out of what we do, because that's why we do it. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas here at the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.